remembering 91. How was it for you?
Probably it's the year that my company laid off 20% of its staff and everybody's worried about their jobs.
It wasn't a very good year.
It's been a good year for me.
David Duke stands out, which I don't know why he popped into my head.
The Gulf War, the state of the economy, and the election in Louisiana.
The economy took a nosedive in California compared to the rest of the country.
The economy going down bad. People losing jobs.
Some folks in San Francisco remembering 91. Good evening. I'm Dave Henderson.
And I'm Jenny Pryor.
For the next hour, we're going to take a look back at 91 and what a year it was. The Gulf War, the failed Soviet coup, the economy, another year of droughts. Well, until the March miracle. And, of course, the East Bay Hills fire disaster.
It was the year of Schwarzkopf and Yeltsin and Dahmer and Kennedy Smith. We cheered the Twins. Well, some of us did. And we cheered the Braves. And we agonized with Magic Johnson. 91 was like a roller coaster. We had ups and downs, triumphs and tragedies. So let's start at the beginning.
January opened with talk of war and peace.
I continue to believe that peace is possible. We certainly continue to strongly prefer a peaceful and political solution. I believe that the path to peace is open. The choice is that of the government of Iraq, and I hope that they will choose the path to peace.
U.S. Secretary of State James Baker as he left peace negotiations in Geneva in early January. He left empty-handed, and his efforts were to fail.
In San Francisco, we hit the streets asking, is war inevitable?
I think it's still stoppable because I think there are other countries that still have vested interests, such as France. For instance, they're trying to intervene.
I think it could be stopped. It's two people talking, but I think it's going to happen anyway.
I'm afraid we've gotten ourselves in a real bad corner that we can't get out of diplomatically or tactfully or any other way.
Nobody's going to bend. Bush isn't going to bend, and neither is Hussein.
Also in San Francisco, the anti-war protests had begun.
Act up! Fight back! Fight AIDS, not Iraq.
No one feels justified for this war. He's not given us valid reasons for being in this war. And all my friends I have at home are back going to this war.
George Bush is a really scary guy.
Women of color, under attack. What do we do? Act up, fight back.
Bush, you liar. You set your ass on fire.
Stop the violence. No more silence. Women, fight back.
It's totally ridiculous. They're moving way too quickly and grabbing their guns.
Meanwhile, in the Persian Gulf, U.S. troops were accepting the inevitable.
I've seen a lot of people here. Their morale is high, and they're scared. I'm scared. I'm scared because I have a brand new family back home, and I'm scared because I don't want to see any of my buddies or any of my friends get hurt or anything. But, you know, we got to do what we got to do.
And the U.S. Navy was ready.
The Tomahawk missile is a long-range strike weapon. It can be used very effectively indeed if we were to be tasked with firing those missiles in the direction of Baghdad.
The Gulf conflict dominated the news in January, and here at home, anti-war protests intensified. In mid-January, protesters managed to shut down the Bay Bridge.
The crowd started to surge. I patted one of the officers on the shoulder and said, "These people are going to go." He shrugged. People started to move. He put his baton down and we went through.
Afternoon commuters were outraged.
We're trying to get home and we have a very important engagement tonight, and I had sympathy for them, but I do not right now.
Walnut Creek stockbroker Warren Houston found himself trapped at first in Harrison. He was beside himself.
Doesn't make a lot of sense. Those guys are over there about to give their life. I don't get it. I've got friends over there, so... Yeah, they could. You're never going to print anything that's pro-American anyhow because you're a reporter, so you're going to cancel what I had to say and find somebody who thinks it's wonderful, right?
San Francisco Police Chief Willis Casey said the PD was caught by surprise, but it wouldn't happen again.
We're going to be canceling watches off, have twice as many officers available, but the tactics will be the same with a slight change in regard to the Bay Bridge. We'll be protecting the on-ramps of the Bay Bridge from now on.
Mm-hmm.
But our tactics will remain the same. We will have more officers, and yes, it is going to cost a lot of money.
January 16th was approaching, and the tension in the Gulf had reached a new level.
The setting of DEFCON 2, from our perspective, we should consider that hostilities are imminent. What does that mean? That means that we need to get ready to fight. That means that all our watchstanders need to be alert and on their toes. That means we make sure that our equipment is at maximum readiness.
And in Baghdad,
President Saddam Hussein has taken over the command office, more than a million-man army directly under him, which means that the battle will be fought under his command.
On January 16th, Operation Desert Shield ended. Operation Desert Storm had begun. The air war against Baghdad was on.
We're getting starbursts, seeming starbursts in the black sky. We have not heard any jet planes yet, Peter. No plane. Now the sirens are sounding for the first time.
The liberation of Kuwait has begun.
There are sounds of planes overhead. We don't know whose planes there are, but air raid sirens are going off insistently. There are military convoys on both sides of me.
5 months ago, Saddam Hussein started this cruel war against Kuwait. Tonight, the battle has been joined.
In Baghdad, Saddam Hussein was saying victory would be theirs.
God is great. God is great. God is great. Victory is there with the support of God. These sons of yours, they were bravely confronting the foes, because God supported them and guided them.
Here at home, there was worry about large numbers of Allied casualties, and Defense Secretary Dick Cheney did not dismiss that fear.
This is a very serious business, that we are in the very early stages of an operation that may run for a considerable period of time. That there have been casualties, and there are likely to be more casualties. So while we feel very good about the progress to date, it is important, I think, for everyone to be careful about claiming victory or making assumptions about the ultimate cost of this operation in terms of casualties.
Also at home in San Francisco, anti-war protests were turning ugly and violent.
No war! No war! No war! No war!
I think it was just the reaction to the war, a lot of pent-up frustrations, and there's a lot of people that attend these that tend to break off from the main peace groups that some of them, I think, are just into this just for the, to use these as an excuse for the violence.
As Operation Desert Storm entered its second day, the conflict spread to Israel.
Iraq had begun launching Scud missiles.
Says Israel has not decided, but stresses that Israel maintains the right to react and the right to decide when and where and if it will react.
As January faded into history, the air war against Iraq continued. And as expected, Iraq put on parade Allied POWs. Some appeared to have been tortured and beaten.
And America is angry about this, and I think the rest of the world is.
Iraq, meanwhile, denied President Bush's charges of mistreatment.
Iraq respects all international conventions.
The news in January, of course, was dominated by the Gulf War. But there were other stories we covered on KSFO, KYA-FM.
In early January, there were inaugurals.
Take this obligation freely.
Without any mental reservation or purpose of evasion.
Without any mental reservation or purpose of evasion.
And that I will well and faithfully discharge.
That I will well and faithfully discharge
the duties upon which I am about to enter.
The duties upon which I am about to enter
as governor of the state of California.
As governor of the state of California.
The choice that California must make. The choice that the people and their government must make is to give increasing attention and increasing resources to the conditions that shape our children's lives and California's future.
Pete Wilson becomes California's 36th governor.
And there was a new mayor of Oakland.
Going to begin looking creatively at how this city as a community can support our school board, our superintendent of schools, and all of the parents and teachers and all of the students in Oakland to make sure that education is going to be a reality.
State Assemblyman Elihu Harris takes over from the longtime Oakland mayor, Lionel Wilson.
Also in January, a lot of talk about problems in the Bay Area.
Homeless, because there's not really a good solution to it. Nobody really knows what to do, and everybody seems to classify the homeless as insane or drug addicts instead of trying to help them.
Pollution. It's the same as everywhere else. Probably the freeway situation.
I'd say it varies. For me, it's traffic for sure.
The fact that people aren't giving blood because the hospitals have a shortage of blood givers.
And once again, transportation topped the list of the biggest concerns in the Bay Area.
And as January left us, it gave us a Super Bowl.
46.
47-yard field goal for the Bills will win the game. If Scott Norwood can make it, it's up. It's no good. 4 seconds to go. The Giants remain ahead 20-19 in Super Bowl 25. The Bills' field goal attempt falling just to the right. No good.
There's no guarantees. You know what I do. I did the best I could on that particular kick, and I feel bad. I realize that I've let a lot of people down.
Giants 20, Buffalo 19.
February began where January left off, with Allied coalition forces pounding targets in Iraq and demanding that Saddam Hussein get out of Kuwait. And then, toward the middle of the month, an indication from Iraq that it would withdraw from Kuwait and comply with UN Resolution Number 660. Euphoria swept the Allied capitals. But then Iraq said there would be conditions.
When I first heard that statement, I must say I was happy that Saddam Hussein had seemed to realize that he must now withdraw unconditionally from Kuwait in keeping with the relevant United Nations resolutions. Regrettably, the Iraq statement now appears to be a cruel hoax, dashing the hopes of the people in Iraq and indeed around the world.
Here in the Bay Area, the anti-war protests continued, but so did the support our troops rallies.
Your presence here says quite simply, quite eloquently, never again. You send a message to Ron Kovic. He will not shut this country down.
An angry Vietnam War amputee, B.T. Collins, at a rally in Sacramento.
Tell him and every other whining, sniveling dirtbag that you love this country.
Meanwhile, ground forces in the Gulf were positioning themselves for an all-out assault to free Kuwait. On February 22nd, President Bush gave Saddam Hussein one more chance.
The coalition will give Saddam Hussein until noon Saturday to do what he must do. Begin his immediate and unconditional withdrawal from Kuwait.
There was silence from Baghdad. That weekend, the Allied ground war began.
I'm glad to report, after a consultation a few minutes ago with Chairman Powell, General Powell, that the news is good. Coalition air and ground forces are advancing on their objectives. Enemy prisoners are surrendering in large numbers.
This was to be the beginning of the end. It was to become known as the 100-hour war. General Norman Schwarzkopf's brilliant strategy had paid off.
We were 150 miles away from Baghdad, and there was nobody between us and Baghdad. If it had been our intention to take Iraq, if it had been our intention to destroy the country, if it had been our intention to overrun the country, we could have done it unopposed.
Kuwait had been liberated.
Kuwait is liberated. Iraq's army is defeated. Our military objectives are met. Kuwait is once more in the hands of Kuwaitis in control of their own destiny. We share in their joy, a joy tempered only by our compassion for their ordeal. Tonight, the Kuwaiti flag once again flies above the capital of a free and sovereign nation, and the American flag flies above our embassy.
President Bush had declared a ceasefire.
No one country can claim this victory as its own. It was not only a victory for Kuwait, but a victory for all the coalition partners. This is a victory for the United Nations, for all mankind, for the rule of law, and for what is right.
And the Gulf War was over. Kuwait had been liberated. But Saddam Hussein was still in power, and that would not change in 91.
While the war raged in the Gulf, there was a siege of another sort here at home. Folks in the Bay Area were trying to deal with a fifth year of drought. Things were so bad in Marin County, the directors of the Marin Municipal Water District voted to enforce mandatory rationing as of March 1st. Each person in each household would be allowed only 50 gallons of water a day.
My husband was yelling at me this morning in the shower to turn the water down.
I went to the water board and I received from them the low-flow shower heads.
Well, we've been through it before and it wasn't fun. You know, it's something you can adjust.
Take shorter showers. And when you brush your teeth, you know how, like, you keep the water running?
turn it off.
Well, folks, we're learning to cope.
The water was not the only story in February. In the South Bay, there was the story of 4-year-old Joshua Matz, who did just what his mom had told him after his babysitter had a seizure.
Code 911.
We have 911 all over the phone, on the microwave, everywhere, just so they're aware. If I'd ever fallen down and bumped my head, they need to call.
In late February, the heartwarming story of a little San Ramon boy who had been missing overnight and was found near his home the next morning by a neighbor.
I was about to give up, and I was checking one more place, and I was going to go on to work, and then I found him. When I saw him, I said, God, that's here he is,
Rancher Ray Castor had found little Stephen Freitas in the Norris Canyon area of San Ramon. February ended on a bright note.
And March opened on a bright note. The skies opened up and started dumping on us. A big storm hit that first weekend in March, raising hopes that maybe, just maybe, it would put a dent in our fifth year of drought.
A lot of it's up to Mother Nature, and we're not going to try and project ahead what she may or may not do.
Hetch Hetchy Honcho for the San Francisco Water Department, Leo Bauer, hedging his bet.
But in the South Bay, they were excited. For the first time since 1986, there was fresh water coming into their reservoirs.
What we're getting now is runoff in our reservoirs for the first time, really, since February of 1986, and we're real excited about this. As long as the back-to-back storms keep coming, we will be getting runoff, and of course it's runoff that fills reservoirs.
In San Francisco, however, officials were already unveiling a water rationing plan.
Now, if you live in San Francisco, you won't actually receive your new rationing allotment until March 26th. But Cheryl Davis, the Water Department's customer service manager, says they're already getting irate calls from people complaining about their allocation. And some customers are quite upset when told that their cats and dogs don't entitle them to more water.
There are people who would like for us to take their pets into account, and those are really not feasible for us.
By the way, San Francisco's water department yesterday asked for permission from the PUC to raise its rates by 57% in the city and almost 80% for suburban customers. There'll be a decision in about 2 weeks. For KSFO, KYE News, Larry Brownell reporting.
As the storms continued to parade through Northern California in March, there was excitement up in the Sierra, but it was tempered with the reality of 4 dry years.
Even though it's been a very good month, about 180% of average for March up there, we were so far behind that we were only up to half average yet.
At the National Weather Service in Redwood City, the news was still good.
It's like another chance of showers and or rain on Wednesday into Thursday, late on Wednesday. Timing's kind of iffy right now. And looking down, it looks like another one on Saturday.
While the storms brought us some relief, one strong weather front brought us a bit of sadness. It had taken an old friend.
Like a loss in our family. We're really saddened up here.
That's how Ranger Tim Young describes the death of the Dyerville Giant, the third tallest tree in the world. It toppled when the ground got saturated in Humboldt Redwood State Park.
Had three major trees fall, and it's sort of one hitting another and another hitting another and dropping the tree.
The Dyerville Giant was 362 feet tall and between 1,200 and 1,600 years old. It won't be forgotten.
Included and talk about it, falling and stuff like that, so it'll stay in place.
Ginny Pryor, KSFO KYA News.
As March began to fade into history, it provided us with yet another weather treat.
Suddenly the clouds cleared away, and the Hayward Hills are all covered in snow, and it looks beautiful.
San Leandro's Roy Lindahl with a bird's-eye view of something that is rather rare in the Bay Area. So, March saved us from mandatory water rationing, and the storms it provided were to become known as the March Miracle.
Weather was the big local story in March. The big national story? Our Desert Storm troops started coming home.
It was a star-spangled, emotional welcome home for the more than 100 Desert Storm soldiers. Their wives, children, and friends sang and laughed and cried with joy. PFC Robert Scott Hamilton sipped his first beer in nearly 7 months and said how happy he was with the big welcome home and the big win in the Gulf.
We feel proud of what we've done. We know what we've done was right. And we know that there's no doubt in anybody's mind that it was a victory.
Many of these returning soldiers said they were looking forward to a hot shower and a home-cooked meal. Two more plane loads are due later today. Dick Giuliano, Fort Stewart, Georgia.
Our POWs were also coming home. Navy fighter pilot Jeffrey Zahn, one of the first to be taken prisoner by the Iraqis, was flown to Bethesda Naval Medical Center.
90% of the time you felt you were in danger of losing your life. About 90% of the time, you were overwhelmed. And I thought about my family. I thought about God. I used to thank God that if he was going to take my life, at least he'd give me the chance to grow closer to him. And little mental games helped you get through, too.
And there were also homecomings here in the Bay Area.
Men and women of mercy, welcome home to America.
The hospital ship Mercy was home.
March ended on a rather sour note, at least at San Francisco City Hall. The supervisors, city officials, and the public at large were engaged in heated debate on whether to rescind the SUP's resolution to provide sanctuary for those who refused to go to war. Supervisor Harry Britt wanted the board to stand firm.
Back down on our commitment to an issue of conscience would, I think, be an act of great shame for this Board of Supervisors.
Former Police Chief Frank Jordan said the supervisors are making San Francisco the laughingstock of the nation.
They do nothing but drive people away from our city. They make us the laughingstock of this nation as our city officials swing with the political winds. First opposing a war because they think public opinion is running against it, and then jumping on another bandwagon when they sense public opinion has begun to run another direction.
When the dust had settled at City Hall, the Supes voted 7-4 to reaffirm the anti-war sanctuary resolution.
As April 91 unfolded, San Jose's top cop decided he'd had enough. Time to hang up the badge. Chief of Police Joe McNamara told San Jose city officials he was resigning and was going to join the Hoover Institute.
A number of big stories paraded through April. A nine-hour hostage standoff the night of April 4th shocked Sacramento. When it was all over, at a retail electronics store, three of four gunmen and three hostages had been killed.
Big bucks stacked up for the state lottery's lotto game. A record jackpot was claimed by multiple winners.
I just told everybody, listen, we need to win this thing, so give me $10 each. And I collected up from 31 people total, and I went across the street and got them, and that's it.
San Francisco City Hall, complaints were flooding in about the penalties in the city's water rationing program. The city's utilities czar responded that the public must not relax its water conservation effort.
We were to learn later in April that the snowpack in the Sierra was two-thirds of normal, and that was good news.
And on the national scene, a new book on Nancy Reagan hit the bookstores. Kitty Kelly's unauthorized biography alleged that the former First Lady, among other things, had an affair with Frank Sinatra. And the book was called by many mean-spirited.
April also saw a reprieve for the bankrupt Richmond School District. A Contra Costa County judge ordered that classrooms stay open until the end of the school year.
The end of April had us smelling roses, so to speak. Well, it had us in love with A's baseball and Ricky Henderson.
And the pitch is running. Pitch taken.
I knew a lot to tie the record, but, you know, the break is, that means that you're number one. Right now I'm tied with Luke Brock, so, you know, we shake hand to hand. And Tuesday or Wednesday, when the opportunity comes that I can break the record, I think it'd be a lot more special to me.
May began as April ended, with Ricky Henderson stealing bases.
Ricky goes, a pitch taken, he's going to have it. He does! Ricky Henderson, no contest, steals third base, jerks the bag from its moorings, and holds it aloft. Representing number 939.
A new major league record for stolen bases.
Luke Brock
was a symbol of great base stealing. But today, I'm the greatest of all time. Thank you.
But on that first day of May, Ricky was going to have to share the spotlight.
They are standing all around Arlington Stadium. The electricity is in the night air. Nolan Ryan is on the mound with a 2-2 count on Alomar. Two outs. The pitch on the way. Swung on and missed. He did it. Nolan Ryan has number 7.
Nolan Ryan throws his 7th no-hitter.
Exciting. May would also see the knighting of Stormin Norman by Queen Elizabeth.
General H. Norman Schwarzkopf, United States Army.
We knew you'd never let us down. By golly, you didn't.
Would the general now be called Sir Norman?
I don't think anybody's going to call me Sir Norman. A few people may call me General Sir.
On May 21st, the world was shocked and saddened by the news coming from India. Former Prime Minister Rajiv Gandhi had been assassinated as he campaigned for a political comeback. On Capitol Hill, debate on a military budget was interrupted.
Rajiv Gandhi was a world statesman, and his tragic death following the tragic assassination of his mother indicates that while India is a political democracy, political violence is unfortunately alive and well in India.
Peninsula Congressman Tom Lantos.
Here in the Bay Area,
people are shell-shocked. They couldn't believe it.
That is how Atul Vaidya, associate editor of India West, a weekly newspaper published in Emeryville, sums up the reaction to Gandhi's murder and says its impact will be enormous.
Not just on India, but the neighboring countries, too.
He also says Indians living in the Bay Area and the U.S. play a huge role in Indian politics.
There have been many expatriates who have been sending money home in one way or other, and often that money is used by some violent groups in India, and these are the effects of it.
He says he hopes political ties and the aims of political groups will now be re-evaluated.
There have been many groups who have done that. I hope they'll do more.
R.J. Perelman, KSFO KY News.
On the national scene, Liz Dole took on a new job. The Bush cabinet secretary became president of the American Red Cross. Her first announcement? A big program to make the nation's blood supply safe.
The key here is that we're going to make it as safe as it can be made, or we're not going to collect blood.
May ended with bad news for North Bay commuters. So the Golden Gate Bridge District Board of Directors finally made it official.
Well, of course, the $3 toll was a foregone conclusion, but here's how the Bridge Board voted on commute discount tickets. Instead of $2.50, they okayed a gradual increase from $2.22 the first year up to $2.67 the fifth year. Now, for you bus and ferry boat commuters, a slight break today. Fares are going up by 10%, but not until next year. The $3 toll, however, begins on the 1st of July with a transit fare increase a year after that. At the Golden Gate Bridge Toll Plaza, Larry Brownell, KSFO, KYE News.
Well, June hit with a presidential commission trimming a military base closing hit list. A number of Northern California bases were on that hit list, including Treasure Island, Moffett Field, and Fort Ord.
And there was also legal maneuvering in San Francisco. The local PBS station, Channel 9, went to court to get permission to videotape the next execution at San Quentin.
There hasn't been an execution in California for nearly a quarter century. We believe it's a very important news story. We believe that we as journalists ought to be making the decisions about whether and how to cover that story, not government officials who are supposed to be managing the event, but not the news.
A judge later refused the request.
There was also a weird bank robbery standoff in San Francisco in early June. After 3 hours of searching, the PD finally flushed out the armed bank robber under the roof of the Bank of Canton.
Yeah, he was seen moving in there, and we knew he was there. So once the officer saw him, he gave up.
So he was on the roof?
No, he was inside. He was inside a crawl space.
Unlike the attic space?
Yeah, it's an attic space. It's an old pagoda, so he was in there like in the attic space.
Was he armed?
Yes, he had a gun.
And luckily, nobody was hurt.
June also saw the biggest heroin bust in U.S. history. Two Taiwanese couples who lived in posh Black Hawk in the East Bay were arrested. After the initial discovery of the heroin at the Port of Oakland by U.S. Customs agents, a trap was set, and it was sprung in Hayward.
I'm reasonably comfortable that we have reached in and basically ripped the heart out of a very significant organization that will suffer immensely here financially for some time to come, as well as organizationally.
Bob Bender, special agent in charge of the Drug Enforcement Administration. The haul was estimated to be worth $3 billion on the streets.
June was not without its fun times. On the 19th of June, San Francisco held its annual cable car bell ringing contest.
This is a surprise. The world champion, cable car bell ringer for the whole wide world, Famous Limbrick.
Retirement call to a U.S. Supreme Court justice in June.
The Supreme Court has lost an historic justice, a hero for all Americans and all time.
Senator Joseph Biden on the retirement of Justice Thurgood Marshall.
Well, toward the end of June, Mother Nature got into the act in Southern California. An earthquake hit near Pasadena.
We've had a fair amount of reported window damage along Colorado Boulevard, which is our central business district. Some cosmetic damage to our city hall. However, the Rose Bowl appears to be undamaged.
The quake measured 5.8 on the Richter scale, and it scared some tourists in Pasadena silly.
That was my first one, and we don't have those in Arkansas. So I was like freaking out.
I can imagine. Well, we closed June out with a big parade in San Francisco, the 1991 edition of the Lesbian Gay Freedom Day Parade down Market Street.
I'm here because I'm queer and this is a great day.
I'm here because I have a lot of friends who are gay, and it's part of the city, and I think it's a great thing.
It's their right to parade.
Why am I here? Just for fun.
Goodbye, June. Hello, July.